The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by ourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity to even eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to the deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know it. They hesitated. They were on foot, and they were all in towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked, he saw the vast crowd. His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Welcome to the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time, where today's gospel reading is a continuation of Mark's gospel, talking about the stories of how Jesus sent his disciples out last week to preach repentance, to drive out demons, to anoint and cure the sick. This was his marching orders and to his disciples in last week's gospel. And so this is a continuation of that gospel, and it appears to be an opportunity for he and his disciples to sit back and contemplate all that they have achieved thus far. And so in this short gospel, it comes a short message. Upon reflection, us clergy usually fill in a little bit with humorous, whimsical anecdotes and jokes. But in my research, I came across a story that I want to share with you instead. It's a Jesus story. It's the story of the folded napkin. You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 7, John goes into great detail about what the women saw when they entered the empty tomb. They found the grave clothes, the linen grave clothes, thrown aside, and the linen napkin, the facial shroud, neatly folded at the head of the tomb. Those were John's words. But what did they mean? And why would the author spend time to put those words in this story, this great amount of detail? Well, to understand, we need to know a little bit about Jewish culture. When the master finishes his meal, he takes his napkin, crumples it up, and throws it on his plate, leaves, and that's a signal to the servants that they can come and clean the table. But if he's going to leave for a moment and he's going to come back, he takes his napkin and neatly folds it and puts it on his plate. The folded napkin is the sign to the servants that the master will return. So too in this story, John is telling us in a very, very subtle way, with the neatly folded napkin at the head of the tomb, Jesus' promise that he will return. I am coming back. So getting back to the message at hand, I know that we always think of the Gospels as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we take a lot of that for granted until we get into Bible study and we find out that Mark is actually the oldest of the Gospels. And it's not only the oldest of the Gospels, but it's the shortest of the Gospels. And as a result of Mark's brevity, there's often more questions than answers in Mark's version of how things went. Questions like, what did Jesus say to them? What did they recount to him? What did he say to them in reply? How did they pray together? All these things weren't asked in Mark's gospel. And Mark, he's the only one that calls Jesus the carpenter. And Mark, in this reading, is the second time that he refers to the 12 as apostles. Apostles, which come from the Greek word that means the ones who were sent. He names them in chapter 3, but here he just singles them out and commissions them to preach, teach, and drive out demons. And so as I read this gospel, I recalled my early years here at St. Joseph's, bringing up my 3 kids during the 80s and 90s, teaching RE classes with my wife Bonnie, performing duties as a Eucharistic minister and lecturer, belonging to the RE board and the parish council. And yes, I did my time in all these things, all these ministries, long before I became a deacon. But when we were growing up, many of you grew up with us and remembered that. And I remember Father Kolinsky, who was our pastor during most of that time, and his desire to get the parish council all together on the same page. And each year, each school year, he'd start off with a retreat. He'd get the parish council together and go off to the retreat house in Guthrie, where we'd spend time in prayer, in reflection, and in deep discussion about what direction the parish is going to take for the upcoming year. I always look forward to these weekends, year after year. I look forward to that special meal that Father Kolinsky would make for Saturday night dinner. You remember, he was such a good cook. It was a gift, and a great spiritual exercise for me and all who attended. And I continue to do that now as clergy. As a matter of fact, our clergy retreat is this October. It's going to be at Montserrat down in Lake Dallas. It's done to rejuvenate ourselves. It's done to get new energy. And so we also, as baptized Christians, were commissioned by our baptism to do the same as the commissioning of the apostles now, which were called to the ministry of the Lord, to spread the word of redemption through belief in Jesus as Lord, and through love of God and love of our fellow man, we will find peace and understanding that is the ultimate reward of life everlasting in the presence of the Father. Now, we're not expected to cure the sick or drive out demons, but we are expected to exercise ministry to each other. Yes, this could be very, very tiring responsibility, and if we truly follow the path, we too need time to sit back and reflect on our lives and our actions, both past and present, and looking for the future. Maybe it's time for one of you to take a personal retreat. And so it was with Jesus in today's gospel reading. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported all that had done and taught. And that Jesus' response was, "Let's go on retreat." His words, "Come by yourselves to the deserted place where we can rest a while. Let's go on retreat." Now, you know, Jesus had an agenda. And you know, Jesus had explicit instructions to teach each of his disciples. And what to say to them, and what was done, and what was said to the people. All these stories in Mark are not there. Mark would have none of it. In fact, Mark ignores reporting any of these events. Instead, Mark focuses on the crowd surrounding them and how he found out their plans and followed them to the deserted place and crashed their retreat. Not fun. These were simple people. Most of them were uneducated villagers, fishermen, shepherds, most common folk, and they were all searching for something. They were looking for something that the Jewish religion leaders weren't giving them. They knew little scripture and were meagerly ministered to by the scribes and Pharisees, who were so self-absorbed, had no time for the common folk. The scribes and Pharisees weren't providing them with spiritual food like Jesus was. Jesus referred to them as shepherds, as sheep without shepherds, and took pity on them. That's why we call this Good Shepherd Sunday. In spite of the fatigue and the fatigue of the apostles, he stopped and ministered to them. And as we see in the chapter, in the next chapter, which you'll get next week, they numbered 5,000 men, which means there was probably twice that many in attendance, at least. And now they had to deal with a new problem: how to feed them. Jesus was nurturing their souls, but now their bodies need nurturing. Mostly their spirits were fed by Jesus' words, and he was giving them spiritual food that they were searching for. But this large group had to have their bodies fed as well. And so we read about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, this is another story for another time, and we're going to see that next week. But today's lesson focuses on the distractions that they had. We all go through our lives as much purpose and direction as we can muster. And somehow, things get in our way. At a moment of our most intense concentration, we find ourselves distracted by television, or by the child, or in my case, grandchild, wanting something, or by the mailman or the UPS man knocking at our door, or by the loud music in the next room or in the next house, or by all the commotion that's going on outside. Yeah, distractions. Distractions is what Jesus was dealing with in today's gospel. And how did Jesus deal with these distractions? Well, we see patience, we see love, we see caring, we see understanding, we see concern for the people. Jesus could have easily dismissed them, sent them home. The apostles didn't have these qualities as yet. And they wanted Jesus to dismiss the crowd, send them home to find their own food. This is not Jesus' plan. Instead, he redirected his focus on the crowd, focused on their needs and not his own. And the lesson from this today is that we need to be more tolerant of distractions, more willing to go with the flow, more willing to bend like a willow, and be more tolerant of the distractions that bombard us all day long. Can we be made more Christ-like in our actions? Can we take up our cross and find a way to deal with daily distractions in a tolerant way? It really isn't as easy as it sounds, but we have in ourselves the ability to do more and be aware of intolerance. And look to Jesus as an example of how we deal with things that distract us and annoy us. And so we listen to the Word of God, we grow in faith, we pray, and we gather our children and our loved ones and whoever are with us, and hold hands and give the Lord his thanks and praise and glory for all we have, for our good health, for our healing, for our gifts, or our life, or our jobs. All the things that are given to us, we recognize, come from God. And it is he who we need to be thankful to and for. So just maybe there is an opportunity in there someplace for spiritual retreat for you maybe sometime this year. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.